Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. All right, so our passage this morning, Matthew 21, we're going to start in verse 1.
I would invite you to follow along as we read these words from the book that we love. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Amen. Let's try something this morning. We'll play a little game this morning. I'm going to put here in just a moment several pictures up on the screen, and I'm going to see if you can tell me who this is. You think you're up for something like this? Pretty simple, right? So let's put the first picture here on the screen. Who is this? Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. We have a lot of Chiefs fans here, all still very happy about their Super Bowl. Yeah, right? All right, so let's take him down. Who is this? Let's go to the next one. Who is this? Ben Affleck, yeah, otherwise known as the person who would play me in a movie, yes? You laugh. Oh, man, okay. Let's go to the next one. Who is this? Taylor Swift, yep, we all know that one. Okay, who is this? Yeah, I figured that would get around. Yeah, does anybody not know who this is after the last couple days, right? Caitlin Clark, I mean, they are just fun to watch. They are fun to watch. We're all cheering them on today, all right? All right, let's go to the next one. Who is this? Oh, this one's a little harder. Yeah? No, it's not Heather. No, not Heather. Maybe if we put a more recent picture up, that'll help. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, Lucinda, who's just up here, our Director of Children and Youth Ministries here at Westview. Yes. All right, who is this? Good, you learned your history lessons in school. Very good. George Washington, who is this? Mother Teresa, very good. How about this one? Who is this? Bart Simpson, a long, long, long running TV show. Very good. How about this? Who is this? Yeah, have you seen this picture? Have you seen this picture before? A couple years ago, I think maybe it's probably five years or so ago, some forensic experts teamed up with some archaeologists and some medical artists to develop a computer model of Jesus' face based on forensic anthropology. And this is what they came up with. Now, I'm not saying that this is exactly what Jesus looked like. But I will say this is closer to the next picture we'll put up on the screen that maybe some of you had in your homes or that were in mom and dad's homes or grandpa and grandma's homes. Newsflash for us this morning, Jesus was not white. Jesus did not have blue eyes. He did not have long blonde hair. I'm not saying the picture on your left here is in fact what Jesus looked like, but I'm going to say it's closer than the one on the other side. So when we say, who is this? I know in my mind, I think of, what, I saw Grandpa and Grandma's house. Don't necessarily think of this. But, you know, if we go to Google and we Google images and we say Jesus and we add a bunch of things like Jesus teaching, we get pictures like this. Or if we say Jesus and the Lord's Supper, we get a picture like this, right? If we say Jesus and children, we see something like this, right? And we see all these different things of Jesus. We even see, if you Google Jesus, you're going to get something like this next picture here. You know what that is? Buddy Jesus. Literally, Buddy Jesus. It was a toy about, I think this was when I was in college, about 20 years ago. Thankfully, did not grasp the market share. It's kind of creepy, right? But if you Google, you know, you can Google artwork for Jesus and, and all the different events of Jesus' life. You're going to find pictures like Jesus and the crucifixion, right? You're going to find pictures of Jesus and the ascension. And so if you start thinking of all these different images and all these different circumstances, all these pictures after pictures after pictures and images and images and images and circumstances and circumstances and circumstances of Jesus, pretty soon we too are left asking the question, well, who is this? Who is this? That is the enormous 9-letter only question that pops out of this passage and stares us smack in the face. Who is this? And that question is not asked just by one person. That question is not asked by two people. Matthew says that the whole city of Jerusalem, right? The whole city. Now that maybe is a slight exaggeration, like every single person. But Matthew's saying the whole city is stirred up here, the whole city. And what we have to recognize here is like a little bit of context when we ask this question, who is this? Because we are no longer in Galilee, Toto. We're in Jerusalem. Jesus has made his way. Matthew says when he got into Jerusalem, Jesus is one of many, 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 many pilgrims who have made their way from all the outlying areas into Jerusalem for the feast. For the Feast of Unleavened Bread and for the Passover. And when I say many, many people, I'm not just talking hundreds of people or thousands of people or even tens of thousands of people. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of people. Some people even estimate that there might have been up to 2 million people in Jerusalem to celebrate and remember what God had done for his people, leading them and delivering them out of the bondage of Egypt. And all of those people are praying and yearning and longing that God would work again in their day and in their midst, that God would deliver them out of the bondage that they are having and the oppression they have in that moment from Rome. This is a tough moment, a tense moment. This is not Easter at Grandma's on the farm. This is a highly charged political and religious moment, and it's like a barrel of kerosene that is just waiting for a spark. And what Jesus is doing on this morning, riding down into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey and a colt, might just be that spark. And so the question, who is this? It's only 9 letters long, but it is not a question to take lightly. This is a question that is loaded. This is a question that is not an innocent one. This is not a question that is just whispered between two friends like, hey, who is that? This is a question that is loaded. Lots and lots and lots of people are asking this question. And it says in that verse, the whole city was stirred. Lots and lots of people are worked up. Lots and lots of people are agitated. In fact, that word there for stirred is the same word that is used to describe what happens during an earthquake. And so we could quote Elvis, right? They are all shook up. Who is this? And so the context of this question is that all these people are together in one place and they are frenzied because of their fervor for the feast. And there's this built-up tension because Rome has this forceful and demanding occupation. And within this context, there is this unusual and yet vaguely familiar scene that is being played out before them. That a man is riding on a donkey and a colt down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, and there are crowds that are cheering and shouting, and they're laying cloaks along the road, and they're cutting down palm branches and waving them and laying them across the road, and they're shouting, Hosanna! And he's coming into this tense arena and into this tense audience here, and there's a city here of Jerusalem that is on edge, and they see what's happening, and they know what's happening, but they don't know what's happening. And so it says that the whole city of Jerusalem is stirred, and they're asking, who is this? Could this be a most important question for us to ask today? Within a fairly tense religious and political climate that also at times feels like a barrel of kerosene ready to ignite. Could this question and its answer be a most important one for us at this moment? Who is this? Great thing about this passage is that it gives us answers galore. And they are easy to find. In fact, they are so easy, you just have to keep reading. The question is in verse 10, so read verse 11. In verse 11, it says, the crowds answered. Now, let's stop right there. The crowds. Who do we mean by the crowds? These are the crowds of people who have come with Jesus to Jerusalem. These are the people who are familiar with Jesus. They are the ones who know about Jesus' ministry and his teaching and his miracles. And they either have the experience it personally or they are familiar with him through proximity. But they are the ones who are there. They're the ones who cut off palm branches. They're the ones who lay down their cloaks. They're the ones who shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they have an answer to this question of who is this? And in verse 11, they say, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And in that one sentence, we get a whole load of answers. One of the things we get for an answer is just factual knowledge. Jesus is from Galilee. We'll say again in just a little bit, Galilee was sort of a hotbed of messianic fervor. And Jesus is from that northern area, the rural part of the country. The sticks, some might call it. And Jesus is from the nondescript town of Nazareth. So we get some factual knowledge about Jesus. But more than that, this sentence tells us that Jesus is a prophet. We have to remember that prophets are not fortune tellers. They are not predictors of the future. Prophets are those who speak and teach and deliver God's words to God's people. And that's what Jesus did. But even more than that, there's another answer that we don't want to miss in this one sentence. Just the fact that they name him. They give the man a name. His name's Jesus. Jesus is a pretty common name in those days, but readers of Matthew's gospel will know that something else is up with that name. We remember way back in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is worked up himself. Because his bride-to-be, Mary, is found to be pregnant. And an angel comes to Joseph and is like, it's okay, take Mary home to be your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the angel goes on to say, it's okay, Mary's going to give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. And the angel says, here's why. Because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus, which would have been pronounced in the New Testament Yeshua, is the New Testament version of the Old Testament name Joshua, and it means the Lord saves. And so in this one sentence response, in just a few words, the crowd here gives this incredible answer to the stirred up city. They're saying, this is Jesus, the one who has come to save his people from their sins. This is Jesus, the prophet who speaks God's word to God's people, directing them in the way and the truth and the life that God is offering. And so the question is, who is this? This is Jesus, Savior and prophet. But that's not the only answer we find from this passage. In fact, it's not the only easy answer we find from this passage. If you have your Bibles open yet, I trust, jump to the very beginning of our passage. Jump to verse 3. The disciples and Jesus and others, they're making their way to Jerusalem. They're coming upon this village called Bethphage. And Jesus tells a couple of disciples, hey, go on ahead into that village and you're going to find a donkey and a colt there. And it's apparent that some arrangements have already been pre-made. And Jesus tells those two disciples, when you get there, here's the secret passcode in case you run into trouble. Just tell them, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Now, that seems to be a pretty mundane phrase, right? The Lord needs it. But this is only one of a couple times in all of the Gospels where Jesus calls himself Lord. One of the times is in the Sermon on the Mount. Another time is when he calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. Another time he calls himself Lord is the passage we'll look at Maundy Thursday after he gets done washing their feet. He sort of indirectly calls himself Lord at the upcoming trial, and this right here. The only times Jesus refers to himself as Lord. Now, there's lots of other people throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament that call Jesus Lord. But here in this moment, Jesus uses this title that he uses so infrequently. And this is such a catalyst moment. This is such a critical moment where things on this day, on this Palm Sunday, are going to be set into motion, things that will not stop until we get to an empty tomb. I mean, this is such a critical moment. Jesus is making an intentional pronouncement here. I'm Lord. I'm Lord. I'm the one with authority. Like ruler, like a master, not only a spokesperson for God, not only a savior of souls, but all things are under my dominion. I am the one who reigns. I'm the one through whom all things were made. I'm the one under whom God has placed all things. I'm Lord. And so who is this? Well, we find in this passage, Jesus is Lord. Savior, Prophet, Lord. But that's not the only things this passage tells us. Those are the easy ones. Those are the ones that they jump right out at us. But there's more here. And these are actually found in the actions of Jesus, the reason why we call this day Palm Sunday. And so back up a little bit with me. One of the key ingredients of why this was such a religious and politically tense time was because there was a promise. God, in the history of his people, had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. They cried out to God, and God delivered them. He brought them out. That is what they celebrate with the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the reality for these Jewish people, for Israel, is that throughout their history, they are always under someone else's control. There's only a few moments where they have their own freedom. And in the midst of this history, where they're underneath the bondage of someone else, they're always underneath someone else's control, in the midst of that, God makes a promise. God makes a promise that there will be one who is called a Messiah, or as they would say in the Old Testament, a Mashiach. Mashiach, Messiah. And this Messiah would come, and God would send this Messiah to deliver his people once more. And the prophets of old, they would speak about this Messiah. And so within the Jewish people, there's this flickering flame of hope that someday God will send this Messiah, and we will be free once again. And these people, they yearned for it, and they cried out to God for it. They prayed about it. And Galilee, as we said a moment ago, was this hotbed of messianic fervor. There was all these wannabe messiahs saying, I'm the Messiah, come follow me. And then Rome would wipe them out and nothing came of it. And so for these people, they're crying out for this Messiah because they're looking for someone who's going to come. And in the minds of the Jewish people, there's this Messiah is going to be like David. He's going to be the son of David, going to be like David, who's going to unify the people, who's going to bring about a military victory, who's going to come in and kick Rome tushy and drive them out, and so that they can be free, and so that they can have their own nation again. And that's what the Jewish people are looking for. Someone who would make them free, free at last. And there's these prophets who had these passages that would spur this hope on and what this would look like and what this Messiah would be like. And I want to show you a verse here of Scripture, and I'm going to ask you, do you notice anything familiar about these words? This is Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." See anything familiar? This is what Matthew quotes here in this passage. Jesus sends two disciples ahead to bring him a donkey and a colt, and they do as Jesus tells them, and Jesus himself gets on that donkey colt express, and he begins this steep descent down the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding a donkey on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, friends, grasp what's happening here. This is a deliberate act by Jesus right before Passover of all times, when tensions are already high, when the people's fervor is all stoked because they're celebrating God delivering His people from Egypt, and they're crying and they're ready to celebrate this quintessential story, and they're crying out to God, do this again, do this in our midst. And Jesus comes. And he makes this bold declaration about who he is without even saying a single word. He gets up on that donkey and colt. He rides into Jerusalem like the king and like the Messiah that he is. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Not the Messiah necessarily that the people were expecting, but the Messiah and the King that He is. And what I love, what I find so amazing about this passage is that the people who are with Jesus, the crowds who are with Him, who are familiar with Him, they pick up on this. They catch it. Jesus did not offer a single word in that moment, and yet they're able to connect the dots between Old Testament prophetical hope and real-time action. And they're the ones who lay down their cloaks. They're the ones who cut down the palm branches, which were this symbol of victory from the last time the people were free. And they shout, "Hosanna," which we know, right, does not mean praise. Right? Does not mean praise the Lord. That's hallelujah. Hosanna means save us. Hosanna means save us now. It is a cry of help from a people who are in distress to their king, to their God. And all of this is revealed in this action of Jesus. And so if we go back to the question, right, who is this? Well, this is Jesus. He's Messiah. And He's King. And we go back to that question that is asked by this stirred up city. Who is this? Isn't the answers that we lift up out of this passage? Don't we see Jesus? He is Savior. He is Prophet. He is Lord. He is Messiah. He is King. That's the answers from this passage to the question from a stirred up city. But friends, let me ask us something. What will our answer be to a stirred up context that we live in? See, we're basically done with the passage. We've lifted up the answers out of this passage, but this is not the end of our journey with this question. We've looked at this passage for answers, and we found good answers. Answers I hope that we know and that we can be aware of. Answers that I trust we can receive ourselves, because this is the truth about who Jesus is. But that question now is moving from the passage, and the question is now moving to us. This question comes to us, and it is the same enormous question that is still only 9 letters long. But the question is today, who is this? And if we add to it just a little bit, who is this to us? Who is Jesus to you? To me? To us? I mean, we know some answers, right? Because we just heard them. We just lifted them out of this passage, right? We learned that Jesus on this Palm Sunday, as he rides down into Jerusalem, he is Savior, Prophet, Lord, Messiah, and King. This is who Jesus is. This is the answer from this passage to a city's question. But now for us here at Westview, in this moment, this question now spins and it comes to us. And what answer is going to be lifted from us? Who is this? To us. Who is Jesus to you and me and us? I've maybe said it every week during the season of Lent. I'd have to go back and look, but this is a most important question. This is a question that hits hard. This is a question that I believe is one of the most important questions that we can answer at any time, let alone the season of Lent. That as we grapple with our witness of Scripture, as we grapple and we read Scripture, as we grapple with the context that's around us today, as we grapple and we see God's witness and work in and through us, we ask this question, well, who is this? Who is Jesus to us? Is he a good man who got caught up in the wrong time and the wrong place? Is he a compassionate miracle worker who helps some people? Is he a teacher that is full of quote-worthy truths? Is he a nice guy who gave us a good example of how we should treat other people? Is Jesus sort of just this fun hater who just tells me to do not to do anything that my earthly nature wants me to do? Or maybe is Jesus someone who just unsettles us, like this city, and I just get agitated and anxious when I think about Jesus? I mean, or maybe something else. Who is this? Is that who Jesus is to us? Or is he who this passage declares him to be, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the proclaimer of God's full grace and truth, God's anointed Messiah, who is the Savior of all? But more than that, that he's not just the one who saves his people from their sins, but he's the one who saves me from my sins. That he's not just the proclaimer of God's grace and truth, but he's the voice that you listen to as you grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. He's not just the Lord and the ruler of all things, but he is the Lord and the Master and the authority of my life. That he's not just the anointed Messiah who is sent to deliver God's people from bondage, but he's the one who delivers you. He's not just the humble yet victorious king, but he is the one who reigns in and through our entire lives. Who is this? Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior, your prophet, your Lord, your Messiah, your King? Who is Jesus to you?
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.